Mark Weber and Zach Maul talking with Syracuse.com's Brent Axe. Now, Brent, this past week's game against St. Francis, Syracuse only won by 6 points. What did this show from the Syracuse offense, and how is the team addressing these needs from what you know about?
Well, I don't think we know the answer fully right now, but what it does show is that, you know, this team just needs a lot of reps. You know, you got a front court with Tyler Ennis and Trevor Cooney that are still getting used to each other in that zone defense, and that's going to be real interesting to watch to see how that develops. Well, there's a lot of talent inside. You know, Rakeem Christmas, unfortunately, can kind of, you know, zone out sometimes. You either get good Rakeem or bad Rakeem, and that was a game. They got bad Rakeem. God bless Daywon Coleman. I think he's developing. He's coming around. But his defense just still isn't there. You know, people always say that. You know, why didn't this player play this amount of minutes in the game? And with Jim Boeheim, the answer 9 out of 10 times is defense. So right now what this team has a lot of is talent, but they don't have a lot of his experience playing together. And, you know, what happened in that game, too, was, you know, your main gun was down. C.J. Fair just was not on his game. He was missing a lot of shots, and it's just one of those things that kind of piled on each other. So everybody else kind of looked around and said, okay, who's going to lead this show? And Tyler Ennis tried to, but he's a freshman, and he's going to make those mistakes, and he's going to pass when he's supposed to shoot and shoot when he's supposed to pass and get into those situations. So I think it was one of those things where kind of the house of cards fell down on them, but they still only held St. Francis to 50 points and still found the play to win at the end. You know, Jeremy Grant came up huge, and, you know, the answer to that question is, you know, who's the second guy? You think it's Jeremy Grant, but obviously he's not in a position where he can manipulate the game too much. So we'll see if this was just one of those games that happens once a year or if this is a sign that this team's going to need longer to develop than maybe we thought.
Brent Axe with us on Sports Night right now. Is Trevor Cooney for real, or has he just kind of had a nice start to the season?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think his skills are for real. I mean, if you watch this kid at practice, he doesn't miss. He's in great shape. He's got a nice stroke. He's had to work on it a little bit. You could tell that, you know, the mechanics of his shooting stroke have been off at times. To me, it's just a matter of it all coming together. I think defensively, he hustles. He's getting there in the zone. So I think he will be for real. But, you know, proof's in the pudding. He's got to go out there and prove that he can, night in, night out, be a consistent scoring threat for this team. Now, that doesn't mean he's got to shoot 4 or 5 3-pointers every night. Just that he justifies his position by contributing every night, because he's the guy that ties it all together offensively. And, you know, Cooney's come under a little bit more scrutiny, I think, than some other players for some reason. I mean, Jerry McNamara had bad nights shooting, and Andy Routens had bad nights shooting, and some of these guys that Syracuse fans hold in high regard, they struggle too, and then I think how quickly we forget that. But I think he's closer to being for real than the other side of that spectrum, but, you know, he's got to have, you know, more of the games that we saw from him, you know, when he came out against Cornell and got on fire and was the guy that was the reason that Syracuse won. We're going to have to see how that goes. And with Maui coming up, 3 games in 3 days, he'll certainly have the opportunity against good competition to make that step towards fully being for real.
Which we're speaking with Brent Axe of Syracuse.com on Sports Night. Is the 8-man rotation we saw against St. Francis Brooklyn the ACC rotation, or is that just a 1-game thing?
I think that's closer to what you're going to see. And, you know, Boeheim has always done this. He gives the opportunity for younger players to get in these non-conference games. But when it comes down to it, there's only 8 guys he's going to trust, maybe 9 if he pushes it. And my big thing is, what's the lineup when it counts? When it's the second half, you're either up by 4, down by 4, you know it's nitty-gritty time, and you're in a tough conference game. Who's Boeheim going to trust the most? And I think that lineup you're going to see is Ennis and Cooney at the top. I think Bies at center, Jeremy Grant, C.J. Fair. That's the money lineup right there. And, you know, there's always a matchup or two you can manipulate. There's always situations guys are in foul trouble, things of that nature that could change that. But not only is it an 8-man rotation, it's going to be those 5, in my opinion, when it really matters, unless Coleman takes a big step forward or Rakeem Christmas comes out of his shell a little bit more.
Talking with Syracuse.com's Brent Axe about Syracuse basketball, what has happened so far in this season and what will happen in the future. Now, Brent, the beginning of the season, Syracuse ranked as a top 10 team that still continues right now, but they have such a thin backcourt. How long could this team really hold up as a top 10 team with such a thin backcourt that they have, with not too many guys with experience at the point guard and shooting guard positions?
You know, it's interesting. My colleague Mike Waters wrote a nice piece about that the other day, about how Syracuse basically is the most inexperienced backcourt in the top 10. And, you know, one loss knocks you out of the top 10. You know, when you're in that kind of competition, the way that the poll evolves, especially with Syracuse, they've got the Maui Classic coming up. You play mind you, this is not Indiana of last year, held Victor Oladipo, and that's a team that's kind of reshuffling the deck. But still, you got Indiana on December the 3rd. So the line for Syracuse to stay in that top 10 is razor thin, particularly with what you said, how they're developing the backcourt, how things are coming together for this team. Are they a solid top 15 college basketball team? I think so. But can they stay in the top 10? The only way you do that is if you're either undefeated or one-loss basketball team. And the margin for error for Syracuse there is going to be tough because that non-conference schedule is a little more loaded than it usually is up front for Syracuse.
We're speaking with Brent Axe of Syracuse.com, talking SU Hoops, Zach Maul, Mark Weber on Sports Night. Of Rakeem Christmas and Daywan Coleman, who is more likely to develop into a consistent contributor this year?
I think Daywan Coleman is, because he's, no matter what you say about the kid, he plays, you know, he really plays hard. He'll go out there, and that could be his worst enemy sometimes. I think his effort gets ahead of his head sometimes, if that makes sense. And he just, you know, once he settles down and learns a little patience, I think he's going to be great. But the effort is always there from Coleman. He just needs to catch up in terms of where he needs to be in the zone defense. Christmas has all the talent in the world, but it just, the mental game just isn't there sometimes in terms of effort. I mean, I'm not saying he dogs it out there, but, you know, he just kind of goes at his own pace. So if you're asking me between those two who the better player is, I think Christmas has the potential to be the better player. But who's going to develop and be a consistent player in the eyes of what Syracuse needs and how Jim Boeheim looks at things? I got to go with Coleman, because with how loaded that front court has become, you know, that margin for error is slimmer for Rakeem Christmas than it was before. And Boeheim just does not have a lot of patience, guys that kind of check out mentally the way that Christmas seems to do. I think he'd rather, you know, put Coleman out there knowing he's going to play hard. He'll get himself into trouble. He'll put some fouls, and, you know, Boeheim will call him out in some press conferences. But I think that's the guy that is more likely to develop just based on what I've seen. But if Rakeem Christmas wakes up and goes out there and decides to be the player that he can be night in and night out, he's one of the best players in the ACC. We just haven't seen it yet.
Given all of that, isn't there a fair argument to be made that Bi Cato should be starting on this team?
I don't think so, because here's the thing, Zach. Starting is very overrated in Jim Boeheim's world. You know, you can start and be out of the game in 2 or 3 minutes. Daylon Coleman got that treatment last year. Fab Mello got that treatment, you know, early in his career. Starting in Jim Boeheim's world is vastly overrated. It goes back to what I said a moment ago. Who's out there when it counts? When he has the lineup he trusts, that's where you're going down the right zone. Bi Cato is going to be out there in those situations. And what's great about Cato is he doesn't need the extra minutes. Cato is so good at, okay, you give him 15 minutes, he's going to go out, he's going to get you 6 rebounds. He's going to play hard on defense. He's going to make a difference. He did not have a good overall game against St. Francis, but he made a key play down the stretch where he made a defensive play and put the ball up the court. So Cato doesn't need to play 30 minutes. He does so much with the 15, 20 that you give him. And I think more often than not, he'll be out there when it counts.
Brent, free throws have been quite the mess for Syracuse so far this season. There's really not that much that you could do to really fix this problem. I heard that from Syracuse Post Standard that they've had a lot tougher practices when it comes to free throws. What can this team really do moving forward to help this problem, and how much could free throws really affect this team, even though it's been quite the problem for a long time for this program?
I think it can affect them because of some tight situations that they're going to be in. And the reason they can do nothing about it is it's a confidence thing. I mean, you can mechanically work on free throws every day, and they do. But the bigger question I have, and I don't have the answer for you guys, unfortunately, is this has always been a problem with Jim Boeheim teams. I mean, this question has hung out there for years. You know, the old joke's kind of come up again when Syracuse has free throw issues. You know, the guys that have been great free throw shooters in the history You know, when Jim Boeheim was on Center Stage with Michael Kay recently, I don't know if you guys saw that, but you know, Michael Kay asked him, you know, if you were in a foxhole with somebody, who would you want to be with? And Jim Boeheim said Jerry McNamara. There is a direct correlation between guys that are terrific free throw shooters and how mentally tough and how confident they are with a combined work ethic. I mean, Jerry McNamara worked, you know, obsessively on his shooting stroke and his free throws, and it paid off. So it's just one of those things that how much do the guys that are struggling care about that? I think Jeremy Grant doesn't really care that he's a, you know, a inconsistent free throw shooter. There's other parts of his game that he puts more effort into, but it's certainly not for lack of trying. They work on it every day. Sometimes they can't leave practice until somebody makes a certain amount of free throws. So I don't know. That is the Bermuda Triangle of Syracuse basketball. I'll never figure out why this team, other outside of examples like Jerry and other players through the years, Andy Rollins is another one, that just can't hit the free throws.
Brent Axe with us on Sports Night. Going into Maui, what's one key thing you're looking for from Syracuse?
Well, Jim Boeheim, in his press conference after St. Francis, multiple times referenced their trip to Canada and how certain situations paid off against St. Francis. What I'm going to be looking for is how much were those situations, particularly when they played Carleton and they were down by 16 points and had to come back and go into overtime and they got a little shot of adversity very early on in exhibition play. How will they handle that? Because when you're in Maui against good competition, starting with Minnesota, who's had a terrific start to the season at 5-0, Rick Pitino Jr.'s coaching that team, is going to be a fun little, you know, intrigue, you know, the storyline there. What I'm going to be looking for is, inevitably in three games in 3 days, you're going to be in a tight spot. How much of that experience in Canada pays off against Maui? You mentioned it earlier. I want to see how Trevor Cooney does over the span of 3 days, because it seems like either he's red hot or he's cold. And obviously inside, you know, to answer your question, Zach, we'll see how that goes between Christmas and Coleman and who kind of, you know, takes advantage of this opportunity to be the more consistent player down low there. And Tyler Ennis, got to run the show 3 games in a row. How does he handle, you know, the road trip? How does he handle playing good competition 3 games in a row? What's his decision-making like? That really, you know, I know what he's like skill-wise. Let's watch his decision-making and how he handles Syracuse being in a 3 games in 3 day scenario.
That's Syracuse.com's Brent Axe talking to SU Hoops with Zach and I. Brent, thank you so much for your time.
Mark, Zach, thanks for having me. Anytime, guys.
No problem.